Good morning.
Good morning.
A blessed Lord's Day to all of you this morning. Thank you for joining us as we gather here to hear God's word and to receive his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Just a couple of announcements. A reminder that this we are in the season of Lent, so we do have our midweek services Wednesday, 7 p.m. We are using the catechism as our meditation for our services, so a good way to be refreshed in that. Also, just to let those of you know, Sunday school after church has been canceled. We have a sick teacher, so unless somebody wants to do something on the spot, we'll forego that for this week. There are a number of other things in the bulletin coming up to make note of. I suppose the most important thing for next week is that we do that silly time change thing. So you'll want to make sure that you set your clock accordingly, because if you show up an hour late, you'll be late, right? So.
Pastor, Virgil Groen moved tall out of Seneca.
Okay.
So,
yeah, thanks be to God that God has answered prayers that has brought him back among us.
Yeah, so anybody would like to go visiting, that'd be great.
So, all right. Let's, before we sing our opening hymn, let us greet each other in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the whole innocent inner sufferings and death, and God, your brother, Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles.
Good and upright is the Lord.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord,
the Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversity that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 32. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And the man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with man, God and with men, and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on top of the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord.
The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins.
Our second reading is Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instruction we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all things, as we told you beforehand, and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. This is the word of the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast endures forever. Who can utter the highest, O Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteous at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of our Lord. I believe in one God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So why does God wrestle with Jacob in our Old Testament text this morning? We can ask that good Lutheran question, right? What does this mean? What is God endeavoring to teach us with this account? Perhaps you have wondered this very thing. And if you have thought about this text, do you think that this is a how-to lesson on how to persevere? That is to say, if you wrestle with God, just stick it out, fight hard, and stand your ground, and work God into submission, and then he will reward you and bless you, just like he did Jacob. Now, if that's how you think about this text, I'm sorry. Right? This is not how or what this text means. Now, just a little refresher on Jacob. As you might remember, Jacob was the younger twin brother of Esau. And there was a lot of bad blood between these two. Jacob wasn't exactly a good guy. And he wasn't certainly a good brother. Needless to say, after Jacob tricks his poor old father into thinking that he was blessing Esau, Jacob takes the blessing and he flees the homeland. He has to, because Esau, his brother, who was right to receive the blessing, after that fiasco, he wanted to kill Jacob. Esau was extremely angry. And because of who Jacob was, he wasn't exactly the fighting type. And so he takes his blessing and he heads out. Now, fast forward a few decades, which brings us to our text this morning. Jacob is now married. He has a large family, along with all kinds of servants and wealth and goods. All these years later, Jacob is now attempting to return home. Not because he's homesick, because he has worn out his welcome with his father-in-law. In other words, Jacob, like he was decades ago on the run from his brother, is now on the run from his father-in-law. Jacob and his household then find themselves on the river's edge that separates his homeland, which is the promised land, from the foreign land he has been calling home for the past several decades. He wants to cross over into this good land, the land that has been promised to his grandfather, Abraham, and to his father, Isaac, and now, because of the blessing, it had been promised to him as well. But as he enters into this land, he is afraid. He is sure Esau still holds a grudge even after all these years. He was sure that Esau would still want to kill him and his family on sight and then plunder all of his goods. And so Jacob devises a plan. Rather than trusting in God's word and promise, Jacob takes matters into his own hands. He splits his party up into two, half and half. The idea was that Esau may be able to get one half of his possessions, but he could not get both of them. And so it's after Jacob gets done sending both of these parties across the river under the cover of darkness, he lays down and he tries to get some rest. Notice he's not with either party, right? He's isolated himself. Maybe it's just in case. And so he lies down to try to sleep. And that's where God actually comes to him in physical form and wrestles with him. And he wrestles with him all night long. And now, as you heard the story this morning in our text, after hours and hours of this brutal wrestling match, Jacob finally prevails and demands that he tell him his name and tells God his name and to ask him for a blessing. But the thing that we need to remember in all of this is that Jacob was struggling and wrestling with doubt. He believed God and his blessing and promise, and yet his prayers and his actions revealed the fact that he really didn't trust God. He was afraid. He doubted. So God takes on human form and wrestles with Jacob and let him win, all so that God could teach Jacob a profound lesson in trust. And so this lesson that God was teaching Jacob and is still teaching us today is this: God never forgets his promises. He never forgets his blessings. God had already promised that he would bless Jacob, and Esau was not going to be able to undo that. And in the blessing aspect of this text, did you notice what kind of blessing God gives to Jacob? He doesn't receive a blessing of more stuff. He simply receives a blessing with a new name, Israel, which means one who wrestles with or struggles with God. Oh, and then he also blesses Jacob with a bad hip. Right? He most likely had this for the rest of his life. We are never actually told in the scriptures that this injury ever healed. So you might now ask, how is any of this a blessing? And that question right there reveals our lack of understanding of what it means to be truly blessed by God. Jacob had a new name. Every time he heard that new name, every time he had to limp somewhere, he remembered his face-to-face encounter with God. He said, I have seen God face-to-face, and yet my life has been delivered. More than that, he remembered God's promises and blessings. God was merciful and gracious to him. By means of this struggle, God was able to remind Jacob of the blessing that he had already promised to him. Jacob, Israel, was a changed man, a new man, a man who truly walked or limped, as the case may be, by faith. And so for you, as a baptized child of God, you too bear a new name. You bear the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God himself put that name upon your forehead and upon your heart in holy baptism. And now, because you have that new name, hold fast to Christ. Hold fast to the blessing that he has already blessed you with in Christ. No matter how bad things get, you belong to Christ. You are a child and heir of Almighty God. And there is nothing and no one that can ever take that away from you. Now, to be sure, we will still live in this fallen and sinful world. It is a world that is filled with crooked governments and wicked men. And there's going to be times that seem like it seems like everyone and everything is against you. There are going to be times when you continue to despair and doubt. There's going to be times that you will not let God work, be it His way or on His time schedule. Firmly convinced that you know better than He does. There will be times where you fail to even ask for God's help, even though you know that you need it. There's going to be times that it seems like even God is against you. But He's not. The Father turned against Christ so that He would never have to turn against you. Your Father has not forgotten the promises that He made to you in holy baptism, where He wrote His name upon you. He made you His in holy baptism. And now because you are His, you are joined to Him. The Lamb of God who stands before the Father's throne for the rest of eternity bears the wounds of His crucifixion. And in doing so, He forever reminds the Father that all of your debt has been paid in full by Him. It is finished once and for all. And so, like the lesson that Jacob had to learn, that he trust in God's promise, may we trust in God's promises, knowing fully that the promise that God has made us because of Christ, He will and has brought us into His eternal kingdom. Where on the last day, because of His victorious death and resurrection, you who have died to this life will raise to eternal life in Him. This is your blessing from God. May you never lose sight of that or let go of this great gift that God has given you. Because in Christ, you are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me Thy free spirit. Amen.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that You would bless this, our offering, that here in this place we may continue to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. And through that proclamation, all who would hear this good news would trust in the promise of eternal life in You. We pray this through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the prayers of the church.
We pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. Let us pray.
Merciful Father, though you created all things good, through our first parents we rebelled against your goodness and in pursuing our own way came under the curse of sin and its death. We give you thanks for the mercy you showed to your fallen creatures and for your patience until the right time you sent forth your Son as the new Adam to be our Savior and Redeemer. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, though sin left us isolated and alone, your Son restored us to you and made us your own children by baptism and faith. Continue to give your church faithful pastors to speak your word and administer your holy sacraments. Grant that we may be kept in this faith, teach it to our children, and do the good works that show forth our identity as your own people. Count us righteous in Christ and give us his strength that we may endure in the face of trial and be steadfast and immovable before temptation. Make us bold in heart this Lenten tide that we may speak your word confidently before those who do not yet know you. Open our hearts to generously supply the resources for your church to fulfill her calling, both here and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, Lord and ruler of all, bless us with wise and faithful leaders who will preserve our innate freedom and inspire us to use our liberty for noble purposes. Guide all those who make, administer, and judge our laws in this nation, state, and community. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to all places of this world. Protect and defend those who protect and defend us, especially our police and emergency workers, and those who serve us in the armed forces. We remember especially Todd, Angela, Jacob, and Madison. We pray that they and all who serve may do so with honor and integrity, and that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray, give you praise to you for the gift of life that you have bestowed upon the families of Lacey and Stephanie with the birth of baby girls. We pray that you would send your holy angels to shield and protect these children from all danger of body and soul. Preserve them according to your good pleasure until that day when they are brought to the waters of holy baptism to receive the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, we thank you for the gift of human life, and we pray that you would look favorably upon expectant mothers. We remember Amber and Brittany. Grant that throughout their time of pregnancy, that mother and child may be kept safe from harm and danger, and that you may be glorified in the giving of life. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, teach us to number our days, even as we count the years of life upon this earth. Bless those who celebrate birthdays this week. We remember Cale and Matthew. Strengthen their trust in your goodness, and bless them with your abiding love all the days of their life. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, you have been gracious in giving the gift of marriage. We especially remember Nick and Carolyn, Lee and Linda, who celebrate that gift of marriage this week. Assist them always by your grace, that with true fidelity and steadfast love, they may ever honor and keep their promises, grow in love toward you and love for each other through every joy and sorrow shared. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, though we deserve nothing of your kindness, you have shown yourself to be the strength of the weak,
the healer of the sick, the comforter of the lonely, and the hope of those who mourn. Hear us on behalf of those who are troubled, those who are in want or need, those who are sick or facing adversity. We especially remember those who have asked for our prayers. Isabel, Stacy, Dwayne, Nick, Ryan, Hannah, Deb, April, Jason, Blaine, Bev, Christy, Dietrich, Virgil, Karen, Gloria, Kay, and Deb. We pray also that you would be with our homebound and shut-ins, Glenn, Joanne, Eldine, Lee and Linda, Janine, Jeanette, Audrey, Benny, Fred, Lenora, and Lois. We pray that in their afflictions, pain, and suffering, you may sustain and heal them according to your good and gracious will. But mostly we pray that you would deliver them to everlasting life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, though we are unworthy of a place at the table of our Lord, you have bid us to come and eat of his flesh and blood. Give to us faith that we may come in repentance to receive this blessed food of everlasting life and unite us through the same in teaching and holy living. Lord, in your mercy, all these things, O merciful Father, and whatever else you know that we need, we pray that you would grant to us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.